Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
Fella I want to tell you about. Fella by the name of
Todd Lebo.
At least that was the handle his loving parents gave him. And he never had much use for it himself.
This Lebo.
He called himself
Lebo.
Sometimes there's a man. Well, he's the man for his time and place. He fits right in there. And that's
Todd Lebo.
Kansas City.
I hate Lebo.
La 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 la.
Many people say this is the best hour of their week. Not just the best hour of the zone or the best hour on 810. Just simply
a whole week.
The best hour of their week. Todd Lebo.
Fiction?
No, that's a fact. That's a fact. No fact or fiction today, because Jason's out and I'm over here and I just simply refuse. And good news is we're actually replacing fact or fiction today with the next region in the bracket of sound. I have all of my notes.
We've got all that. We've got the NFL.
Kicky Leaks today is the region we'll be unveiling in the bracket of sound. That is representing our Midwest region because we got play-in games tonight.
We do have play-in games. You can hear them both on our properties. Beginning, the first game will be on ESPN Kansas City. We'll have the second game on both, but over here on 810. So it's fun. It's here. And, you know, the NIT is already going as well tonight.
It's already on. Can't wait to see what North Carolina does.
Did you get your NIT bracket done?
Yeah, I had the Tar Heels winning it all.
Yeah, Oklahoma didn't even make that.
I was actually going to ask. I was going to ask about that. I will freely
admit
that
they didn't finish 500.
The OU women are a 5 seed?
Yeah, they are, but they disappointed in the Big 12 tournament. They're in South Carolina's bracket, so if they make the Sweet 16,
yeah,
there's a 30-point beatdown coming.
That's one
Either way, it's good they're back, though. They were very good for a long time, and then they fell off a little bit, and they've got a new coach, the lady who was coaching up at Drake, and she's done great. Turned the program around. They won half the title this year, and they're probably not going to go real far in the NCAAs, but we're a softball school. That's all that matters.
That's what I was going to say. I think Oklahoma right now, the best sport you've got is softball.
It's pretty good. They've won the last two natties, you know. They just do what they do. It's what we're a stick and ball crew. We were in the College World Series last year in baseball. We've won the Women's College World Series like the last two times and whatever it is. It's five out of whatever or something. I don't know. And we do very well in golf. We've made the NCAA finals a couple times. You put a ball and have a stick. We need to start field hockey. I don't think they have that, but they got to start
that
because they'll be good at it. It's SEC. It's what we care about. Stick and ball games.
Stick and ball games in the SEC just mean more. I also just saw that the Drake women are also a 12 seed, so the Drake.
They're double tourneys.
Double tourneys for Drake, which also there will be a reference to our Drake in the bracket representing Drake. A little bracket of sound teaser. The selection committee got a little sneaky, a little tricky with some of these, and then some of them just sort of
some they didn't.
Landed kind of randomly.
I do like Texas and Texas A&M, the possibility of playing each other.
Yes,
like that
incredible. Then you can get Texas and Houston if you want.
You can get that. That whole Southwest Conference.
That whole Midwest there just is
everything
Texas.
That's fun except for us.
Yeah.
Around here. We just didn't get us.
Yeah, I would have liked to have.
We didn't get us. We do need to make a fun joke that we just saw this in the last little bit that Will Wade was a brand new McNeese coach.
Yes.
And he was
He's been suspended for 5 games.
Yeah, he hasn't coached yet. He just got hired. As you'll recall, he was the coach at LSU who refused to admit anything doing wrong, even though there was an audio tape of him saying he made a strong-ass offer to a player. And so McNeese is like, well, I guess I get it. McNeese is going to hire a guy.
That's hearsay.
Hearsay on a tape. And then so they hire him, and then preemptively, because they know they're going to get in trouble, They have to suspend him for the first 5 games next year. Whatever. I'm not going to be standing here like some old man and get all up uptight about everything, because I know the world has changed, and with the way the NCAA is now, what you thought 5 years ago is just not a thing anymore. So whatever, there's no more show causes, really.
Right.
Yeah, the silly part is, like, Oklahoma State got a postseason ban 2 years ago.
Right, which was ridiculous.
The joke. And now Will Wade is just keeps getting jobs.
So I'm seeing here now, I got this is just from a couple minutes ago from Matthew Travis, who works for
somewhere down in
a news station in Southwest Louisiana.
Yeah, where McNeese is.
Say the suspension was in Coach Wade's contract, which also prohibits him from off-campus recruiting-related activities through July 31st.
So he, you have this job, you're going to be suspended. You have to sit here and just Snapchat people. You can't leave to recruit.
Why is that a part of it? You hired him.
But they know that he is in trouble with the NCAA, so they're trying to preemptively. I don't know, man. It's just college sports. College sports are crazy, and I'm not going to be mad about it. It just whatever, man. It is what it is.
And look, I mean, it is drama there that you're just not finding anywhere else. I saw a tweet here from Awful Announcing. Pat McAfee believes, quote, the quote, mother bleeping hippie could still retire, referring to Aaron Rodgers.
Sure he could.
Where is it a dramatic time in sports right now? This is the,
well,
is
now,
the most
it looks
dramatic
like
month?
Everything going on, the Jets are trying to either do what Aaron Rodgers wants them to do, or they're trying to tease him and give him a taste of, here's your old friends.
Yes.
Now, I just want to check. All of these guys who played with him also failed with him the last 10 years?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
So let's do it on the big stage in New York where it's not just like some college atmosphere where you're a bunch of sycophants up there covering you. This smells like if they give up a bunch of stuff to get Aaron Rodgers and he goes to New York City, and they don't do well, this will be
especially
one of the
Jets.
Epic fails. They are by far the second favored franchise in the city. Behind the Giants by far. And if you put all the franchises together, they're behind the Yankees.
Yep.
Maybe the Mets now. I don't know. I mean, the NFL is the king of the world, but the Jets are the stepsister. They did this once with Brett Favre.
Yes. I admitted last hour that I was at one point the proud owner of a Brett Favre Jets jersey.
White or green?
I think it was green. Yeah, it was green.
Green.
It was
home,
a home jersey. Yeah. Yeah, just because me and Fireman Ed were out there, just, you know, JETS and all of that. That I don't know where that jersey is now, and if I did, it wouldn't change my placement of it, which is probably at a closet somewhere
and
or donated at some point.
Still went and played with the Vikings and almost made the Super Bowl.
Right. So really what I think is going to be fun is
next
when
one.
Aaron Rodgers
next
goes
one.
And does, he replaces Kirk Cousins in Minnesota. Full circle there.
And then about 10 years, he misappropriates some state funds. Okay, that's enough
of
that.
There are a lot of good reasons that my Brett Favre jersey is not even on my radar anymore. That was a real moment in time. And then we saw a lot more of Brett Favre than we ever wanted to.
You ever wanted to. Yeah, it is amazing, though, what's kind of shaken out here. We're seeing, I was a pretty interesting tweet from, there's a real side to this. It is business, okay? This is business. And a lot of things happen for business purposes. The Chiefs have been transactional this offseason.
Yeah.
I mean, Orlando Brown, Frank Clark, these are guys who are big parts of what they've done the past, in Frank Clark's case, 4 years, and in Orlando Brown's case, I mean, he was a lot was given for him. He came here, and he performed, but they're like, no, we're not going to do this. You saw this tweet from Colin Saunders about an hour ago. This is a young man who is like, he does not like this.
No.
Some guys are built for this, and they're cool. I'll just go do this. I'll go here. I'll sign here. Whatever. And he's just like, some of these guys, these younger guys especially, put too much on Twitter probably.
Mm-hmm.
Too many things, too many thoughts out there. But it's honesty.
Yes.
And he's like, he does not like this.
Yeah.
He's going to maybe not be a Chief. And he's always seen himself as a guy who brings people together. He doesn't want to go.
Yeah.
He mentions in there, like, he went to a small school, Western Illinois, and he didn't go transfer out. He didn't go do anything. I mean, he's been that guy who sticks around. And now he's going to maybe be somewhere else. There is a real side to this for many players who they're just not used to this. Now, some of them maybe already played at two or three colleges.
Right.
Already got transactional with schools. And at this point, some of these guys have probably, maybe not free agents yet, but certainly guys who could maybe be traded or whatever have been NIL kids in college too. Will really be interesting in a few years when we get guys who've already been through all of that stuff and how it maybe affects them. But I think there's a real human side for this for a lot of players, especially these guys, you know, like Colin Saunders, who wasn't a high draft pick, who made his own way on the team and, you know, has been a contributor and had his best year and won a Super Bowl. And it's like, now maybe not.
Yeah, that we read the tweets from him whenever that the last hour and that you're right, talking about being the unifier in the locker room, the relationships being different and personal, and then signing off with my big ass been emotional as hell, which I just think is something we should all, you know, have on a poster somewhere.
Well, because they're just, I mean, we're watching this all happen,
right?
Okay, on Twitter, through the experts, through sources,
and we
through
get Adam Schefter with a number of millions. That's about it.
Colin Saunders is living this,
yes,
like for real.
Yep.
And it's a little bit like, you know, draft days, those 3 days when you're like, who's going to call? When's it going to happen? Whatever. And if you're a free agent, when am I going to get tampered with? What's going on?
Yep.
I mean, you certainly want to be the guy who got tampered with yesterday at 10 in the morning.
Right. Absolutely.
You want to be the top of the list on the tampering. And my guess is Colin Saunders hasn't gotten tons of action on that because he's a solid player who has a future in this league for a while. But he's not going to get some monstrous deal. Truth be told, he'd probably just as soon be a Chief for a reasonable amount of money. And that may still be the case. I don't know. We have to watch this thing go. I can't imagine what it's like to live through these days and have it be your life.
Because you're also, when you're on a rookie contract, you've got a pretty good idea you're going to be at that place for 3 or 4 years, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, even if you're a lower draft pick, you know that you're not just bouncing around if any of that's guaranteed. And so it was Western Illinois for those years, Kansas City for those years. The rest, I hope this isn't the case because this sounds like a very hectic way to live your life. But the rest of Colin Saunders' professional career, think about it that way, could just be One year in New York, 1 year in L.A., 1 year in Chicago. I mean, it could...
Check the bios of lots of players in the NFL.
Yep.
They're mostly not Travis and Jason Kelce.
Right, absolutely.
10 years each at the place who picked them and playing college football with their actual brother.
Right.
They're just
right.
not like that. That's
close
fairy
to
book
home.
Stuff.
Yes, yes, it is.
I mean,
right.
You know, it's just not the way it goes. And this has been pretty good for someone like Colin Saunders because he's a St. Louis kid, went to Western Illinois. Mm-hmm. He's all been kind of around here. He hasn't had to do all that. But, man, these guys, lots of these guys have just been all over. You sit there and I was, who did I see pop through the other day on some highlight thing? And I remember, I kind of forgot that like Jaron Reed was a Chief.
Right, sure.
But he was, and then he was somewhere else last year. And you like Melvin Ingram has been hopping. This is
he's
what
hit
happens
multiple
at
teams
the end
in
of the
a year.
Year.
Yeah.
And you'll go through there, and if Carlos Dunlap keeps playing, he'll be kind of still hopping. You were mentioning Calais Campbell, who has been a good player at a couple of stops. But if he wants to keep playing, it's going to be the hop around the world thing is the way it goes. That's just the life for almost all of the players.
Yeah.
And it literally is almost all of them. This struck me in my mind. I was watching, clicking through MLS the other day, and Kai Kamara is still playing, okay?
Okay.
Kai Kamara has played for 10 MLS teams. That's just MLS.
Just MLS.
Not to mention overseas and stuff like that. He's played for 10 MLS teams, and he spent a decent amount of time here in Kansas City.
Yeah.
But think about that. And that's not like, you know, those guys aren't making the league minimum of $800,000 to move here and do all that stuff.
Yeah.
So
it's
wild, man. Free agency, you want to get it. They fight for it. They literally strike and do these things to get this free agency.
Right.
And then you get it, and you're like, oh, boy. I don't know, man. This doesn't seem like all that much fun.
You want to get your 1 4 or 5 year deal that comes right after your rookie contract.
Yeah.
Because right, you got to get to free agency to really get paid. But even for a guy like Colin Saunders, I think he's the perfect example of this where, again, small school guy who had injury issues early on in his career. He was all right when he was playing, but he just wasn't at full health, full strength for very much of his career. Until this year,
he's a good
big part
year.
Of a team that won a Super Bowl. He's got 2 rings here, 1 locker room. Seems like he's really close to Chris Jones and Frank Clark. Mm-hmm. And
the defensive line crew is a crew over in that corner.
And
I mean, they're buddies.
Bringing back Tershawn Wharton, 1 year, $2 million. I'm guessing Colin Saunders is going to be more expensive than that. And I was wondering at the beginning of the show, if Tershawn Wharton 1 year $2 million means that Colin Saunders is going to have to go somewhere else to get 2 years $12 million or something. I don't know. I really have no idea what the
Who
rest
knows?
Of the league
yeah,
values
I
him at.
I don't know.
But you see the potential, and you
and
saw him
you
actually
don't
do it
know
this year.
Until you're a free agent.
Exactly.
You think you know. Yep. You can get on to SpoTrack and see what the market value is for you, but right. that's not always exactly right. You just don't know what another organization is going to think of you. So it can be an upsetting time for someone
yeah.
who you know, is young in the game, even though they've seen people come and go.
Right.
He's been here long enough. He's seen people come and go. He's seen it get that way. But when it's you, it's different.
Yeah,
because there's nothing guaranteed. I mean, you just watch. You guys get cut in this league. You're gone.
Guaranteed money is a very specific thing, and also kind of a amorphous, just sort of vapor. You know, there's guaranteed money, but that very often that guaranteed money gets paid out early on, and then it's just talking about dead cap hits at that point. And we get very, yeah. very transactional. We get very, very numerical in these conversations, and that's why I was happy to talk about Saunders a couple of times now today, because again, that human element's an overused phrase that usually gets used to talk about bad umpiring now, but the genuine humanity
yeah,
of it,
the humanity of
we gloss over it all the time.
Personal thing for these guys, it's their lives. And listen, we talk about them. That's what we do. They're numbers on the field. You literally are cheering for laundry many times.
Yeah,
but there's a human being in there, and it's their entire life. Mm. I'm a lucky guy. I've lived my whole life in this town.
Yeah.
I didn't have to go somewhere. Never got traded. Never wanted to go be a free agent and go look somewhere else.
Yeah.
I got a different kind of job than these guys. But a lot of people go through that, moving jobs here and there, moving across the country and all that stuff. It's a weird thing, and it can really mess with them a little bit.
But yeah.
We'll see how it ends up going. I think so far so good for the Chiefs. The move on the offensive line, for me, has been fine. If they say he can play left tackle, unless it's a smokescreen.
Well,
I think that's what they, this looks like what they're doing. And it looks like the Laremy Tunsil thing, according to the ESPN guy in Houston,
yep.
looks like there's nothing going on there. I believe in the Chiefs offensive line coaches with, if they think someone can play something, I believe they can do that. I they didn't choose to have Mike Remmers play left tackle.
Right.
That just happened
right.
during a year, but they chose to get Orlando Brown, a right tackle, to come to Kansas City and allow him to play left tackle, and he did. And they won a Super Bowl, and they almost made two. So
they might have offered Orlando Brown 4 years, $80 million.
Oh, they very well could have. And we know they offered him whatever, six for whatever, 130-something last year with wasn't whatever he wanted. In the end, I think the Chiefs are happy he didn't sign that.
I think so, too.
And their actions, you know, the last couple of days may lead me to believe that, or his number was just going to get so much higher that it's going to be a problem. And I like we've said this before, I think Orlando Brown was a good soldier last year. He was not a problem.
Absolutely.
He came
Teicher
in and
mentioned that
job.
A couple weeks ago. I think that's a good thing to
absolutely
do.
Absolutely did it the right way.
Yep.
And now if he goes, he's still like the top tackle prospect
yes.
in the league on this. But so far, he's not been tampered.
I was getting some algorithm targeting of some Chiefs TikToks or Instagram reels or something during the season. He's the guy holding the little microphone.
He was their guy on the microphone.
And I really do think it's too bad that as much of that conversation around Orlando Brown got as poisonous as it did. Because that's something that Teicher mentioned a few weeks back of like, hey, he cares about legacy. And he does care about how he's perceived. And he did want to play left tackle and all of that. But he played on the franchise tag last year that he... No shot he wanted to play under the franchise tag. He was well compensated for it. But to be...
Two times more money than he made in his whole career.
Absolutely. It was a great financial year for him. But you want to hit free agency so you can get multiple years guaranteed
yes.
or effectively guaranteed. And I do think that's an important part of it. But speaking of guys who did get good news when they hit free agency, Juwan Taylor was the top right tackle free agent in this year's class. Young, we talked about him being an ascending player still, and the Chiefs kind of betting on younger guys in free agency, which I certainly think is sound. But I wonder if his agent was calling people about him moving to left tackle, or if the Chiefs called him and went, hey, this tape we're looking at here, we've got a vacancy on really both sides of the offensive line right now. We think we can make this work for you. We'll give you a little more money. We're going to need you to stay a little bit flexible with us. We think we can make that happen. I've got a snippet I'll read you here in a second, but what were your first thoughts when you saw that coming down yesterday on 4 years, $80 million, 60 guaranteed for Juwan Taylor, who apparently could be dropped at either side of the offensive line?
Well, I was happy enough with it. I know PFF grades weren't as good as some.
Mm-hmm.
I don't hate PFF grades. No, I think what they do is a real thing. There's no doubt about that. But I've been saying this for 4 years with Patrick Mahomes, 5 years with Patrick Mahomes. He does, when he's involved, the other stuff doesn't calculate the right way.
Right.
I mean, he improves people's PFF grade.
Yep.
He improves all of them. He makes a left tackle better. He makes a wide receiver better. He makes all these guys better. And I don't think they've got a data point they can put in there that makes up
that
whatever it
for
is.
Patrick Mahomes.
I don't
yeah.
think there's not a thing they can put in there that says, well, yeah, well, he played with Mahomes, of course. Because however they grade these things, I watched Orlando Brown with my eyeballs last year, mm-hmm. and there were some times where it wasn't great.
Yep. First Bengals game was a nightmare, and then
the Bills game with the first half of the Bills game was terrible.
Yep.
And then, you know, Andy Reid and Andy Heck and Eric Bieniemy, they all helped Orlando Brown.
Yes.
And they know whatever help they gave him, they can give to the next guy, or they would prefer the next guy doesn't need as much help.
I think that's exactly right.
And I don't know if this Juwan Taylor will need more help or not help. I mean, he hasn't played left tackle. He didn't really play left tackle in college. You know, I don't, you know, listen, maybe a guy can figure it out. It's not that hard to go one side or the other. And I think anymore, they move the defensive linemen around where they're almost just as important.
Yes, absolutely.
On the right or left side?
I think the difference is if it's your quarterback's blind side or not. And how many
Patrick
times
Mahomes
have you
doesn't
seen
have a blind side?
That's exactly right. How many times has Patrick Mahomes gotten his head knocked off from the blind side?
I do not remember him getting crushed from the blind side.
From just a guy he didn't see.
Yeah.
I've
seen him run for his life.
Yep.
During the Super Bowl against Tampa.
Yep.
But I didn't see
even
him.
Then. Yeah, with Mike Remmers playing left
yes.
tackle.
I mean, they got after him all over the place, but I haven't seen one of those oof, you know, unaware that this was coming. Now, maybe that's because he knew the footsteps were coming.
Yep.
Whatever. But
yep.
he's got something that he doesn't get crushed.
Yes. And some of that is schematic, which, again, maybe you don't have to roll out quite so often. You can leave Mahomes in the pocket more if you've got bookend tackles that you're more confident in. This tidbit from Albert Breer I thought was fascinating. SI.com, MMQB, one of those. And so he's talking here about Juwan Taylor's move to left tackle. He says, quote, "This, by the way, is still subject to change. The way Kansas City sees it, planning for Taylor to play on the left with the flexibility to have him on the right opens the team's options at the position in the draft. So if they draft Oklahoma's, if they draft Oklahoma's Anton Harrison at 31, maybe they move Taylor back to right tackle. But with the shot to have Taylor play at left tackle, it opens up the possibility of taking a right tackle by trade, like Tennessee's Darnell Wright or Ohio State's DeJuan Jones at that spot."
I like Anton Harrison. I don't know if he's going to be there at 31.
Maybe not. And if he's not, take a right tackle at 31, and you've got somebody to compete with Lucas Niang, who Teichert earlier, I don't know if you caught that, Teichert thinks Lucas Niang is the front runner for that job, and
right.
it sounds like with a even draft notwithstanding.
We've whispered this name a couple of times last month. Kennard.
Kennard.
He sat there the whole time. They kept him around.
He's on the active roster.
Rookie who didn't play, mm-hmm. really. So another year, he's another body who's there. I think, listen, if they ended up drafting you need to remember this part of it. I know the best left tackles many times have been highly drafted. Orlando mm-hmm. Pace, you know, Lane Johnson, Eric Fisher, while it wasn't a perennial Pro Bowler, was very solid. Many of these Joe Staley's, Joe Thomas, or whatever, they're all kind of up there. But Orlando Brown just
Trent Williams
Super Bowl.
Was fourth overall.
He
I just couldn't remember
overall.
Where he went.
He was fourth overall.
Orlando Brown was early
third round,
right? Yeah.
But I mean, he had a horrible combine. So, I mean, you know, so you can get someone later. And I'm, you know, David Bakhtiari was like a later round pick, and he's still mm-hmm. one of the better players. So maybe Anton Harrison or someone like that in the late first round, I would much rather think you're getting one of those people at that point than like a running back.
Yeah.
Who would ever do that? But
No one ever.
So that's an option for them. It's absolutely an option that they can get some people in the draft because they absolutely killed the draft the past couple of years.
Yep.
I mean, freaking killed it. They redid their offensive line in one offseason with two draft picks who weren't first rounders. It was a second rounder and a sixth rounder or whatever Trey Smith ended up being.
Sixth, yep.
And a guard who none of us had ever talked about. until they signed him. He said, oh, it's a guy from New England. This guy, sure.
No one had ever heard him talk either, so no. it was neutral.
You know, made the trade for Orlando Brown. So they'll really, I'm not worried about the Chiefs having a representative offensive line.
Yeah.
I'm not worried at all.
I think I was before Juwan Taylor was signed, and now I'm not.
Yeah,
I felt like there was at least one void that needed to be filled, like probably this week, if it wasn't going to be Brown.
And I'm not ready. I'm not giving up on Niang, but I'm also not depending on him to be healthy because he hasn't done it yet.
Yep, absolutely.
But he could be.
Could be.
He could be because, once again, they have not dead whiffed on much in the last 5 years. We all still remember Breland Speaks, okay?
Yep.
But that's like it.
The Giants are trading for Darren Waller.
Really?
Tom Pelissero. And everybody else.
Trading. What are they giving up? That'll be interesting.
Huh. Not yet.
I said earlier I thought it was interesting that Devontae Adams and Jacoby Myers are both going to be on the field for the Raiders. They still got Hunter Renfrow, too, right?
Does he hate Jimmy Garoppolo somehow or something?
Maybe so. Interesting. Huh. Well, I love Darren Waller. I will be very curious to see what that ends up costing. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. Here's what we can do. We will hopefully have some trade compensation by the next time we come back from break, which will be here in just a second. And we can begin the Kicky Leaks region of the Bracket of Sound. I don't know. I think the Lebo montage was yesterday. It was. We played the Lebo montage yesterday. Really underseeded as a 12 seed. I'm rooting for the upset. You need VCU to beat St. Mary's to keep the Lebo advancing.
That's done.
You got a few here and there throughout the bracket, but we'll hit the Kicky Leaks region of the Bracket of Sound and hopefully get some compensation updates there as the Raiders trade Darren Waller to the New York Giants. We'll see what the Raiders get in return for a really excellent excellent player. Save some cap space, I guess, but he's on a long-term deal. They just signed him. So, I don't know. We'll see what it ends up looking like for the Giants, but Darren Waller on the move out of the AFC West.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Their fans will go ape shit.
Oh, whoa! He just said it on the air. What is wrong with you?
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
So, the Darren Waller trade.
From the Raiders to the Giants.
Yeah, sorry. Good setting up. Hey, everybody. The Raiders just traded Darren Waller to the Giants. If you're just joining us. In return, the Raiders get the 100th overall pick in this year's draft, which is the pick the Giants got from the Chiefs for Kadarius Toney. It's a compensatory third.
Mm-hmm.
So, at the time, and after the Super Bowl, it was like, oh man, the Giants like gave up on Kadarius Toney for a freaking third-round pick. Well, now the Giants traded Kadarius Toney for Darren Waller, and suddenly that looks just fine to me. Yeah. Like, change of scenery, whatever, that's all fine and dandy. This
they
is
need
great for the
someone
Giants.
Someone for Daniel Jones to try to throw the ball to get better than, what do you have, four touchdowns last year?
Something like that.
It was like 15. I'm being mean. I should.
But
I will point out, though, Darren Waller only played 9 games last year and 11 before that.
Yes,
he's had a couple years of injury issues. He's had a couple where he's only
been
4.
Totally. But, man, that's a gamble I would take. I would have considered taking that gamble for the Chiefs with, like, what, 96, whatever pick they have now, because a couple tight end. I like the idea of them drafting a tight end who's going to be here longer. I'm not, I'm not ripping my heart out over that. But, man, you know who I do not like it for? The Raiders. Good luck, Josh McDaniels, Jimmy G, all of that. They just signed Jacoby Myers. They've got Devontae Adams. But Josh Jacobs tweeted, bleep sad for real.
Well, where's he going to be?
There for one more year, right? He got tagged.
They gave him a tag.
I think it's the tag. So he's got one more year there in Vegas. And then, man, that's crazy. I would have happily taken that third round pick risk for Darren Waller.
He really is just kind of a 2 year player so far. I mean, he's been in the league. He has his off the field issues and all that stuff. It's a great story.
Incredible
that he's kind of turned his life around and all that stuff. But he's had some of those games. Believe me, as someone who's been involved with him in the fantasy world before,
yes.
It's like, can you just stretch this out a little more evenly? Let's not do 14 catches in one game.
Do you know who I think might have some ideas? Brian Daboll and Mike Kafka. They're the winners today. Anyway, we got to get into our Bracket of Sound here. But a big trade out of the AFC West. One weapon leaving. Jacoby Myers on his way in via the AFC South. He was a free agent. And the Raiders pick up a third round pick. But I don't love that for them. With that being said, it is now time for our third of four regions in the annual Bracket of Sound. This one is the Kicky Leaks region, named after the many conversations we had around the Chiefs special teams. And there's a team for every real bracket NCAA team. So the one seed here will be representing Houston, et cetera, et cetera. As the real teams advance, the sound advances. We'll keep you updated with that over the course of the tournament.
They're all assigned by Jason Anderson.
There was a two-person selection committee this year. I did have... some voice in the seeding. I did a good chunk of the seeding.
He had a final say, though, didn't he?
Jason did a lot of the sound selecting. I did a lot of seeding after that and made sure a few of my favorites made it. And he left some, you know, for the selection committee to really, really push in there.
Play-in games?
The play-in games, also, we just needed. We were like, oh, God, we got to get extra 11s and 16. So
let's go.
We got there, and we opened it up with the one seed representing Houston.
Under Burrowhead Stadium, so feeling good about it.
Did you just say Burrowhead Stadium?
Yeah, Burrowhead Stadium, right? Yeah. Take care. See y'all at Burrowhead Stadium.
This team, man, we played together. I said it from the beginning when we were in the locker room. I said, we got to be together, and this team stepped up against a great football team, and we showed this place that's Arrowhead. It's not Burrowhead out here.
Hey, let me tell y'all something, man. Don't ever. Disrespect Arrowhead. I don't care how many times you done beat us. Don't ever disrespect Arrowhead Stadium. N-G-E-H-A!
I don't know who the hell they think they was calling this Burrowhead. I don't know who the hell they thought they was talking about. They're going to finish us off. They're going to take their bum ass back to Cincinnati. Man, they came to Chiefs Kingdom and got their ass stumped on. I don't know what number one did. I told him to holler at me. I told them all holler at me. I told them last year they ain't get my best. I told them this year they barely got my best. I told them with the playoffs, though, I'm the f***ing king. They got to holler at me every f***ing game. Let's go.
Burrowhead my ass. Woo!
Burrowhead, get the f*** out of here.
It's a pretty strong one.
A very strong one seed. I imagine Houston's going to be playing some basketball, so we'll probably have that advancing for a while. It's going up against the 16 seed representing Northern Kentucky.
It was almost a done deal. And at the last minute, Gruden blew the deal up and said that he didn't want him.
You're sticking with that motherfucker? Are you serious?
Now the Raiders are a couple mother bleepers in at this point. Hey, they got Jimmy Garoppolo. They got Kirkland's Tom Brady now.
They do. And they got the number 100 pick.
Yeah. Right, and no tight end. Next we go to the 8-9s with Iowa, represented by...
Hey, Brian. Fran McCaffrey here. I wanted to reach out and let you know that all of us in the Hawkeye family are thinking about you. Your family loves you. Your dad loves you. The Hawkeyes love you. If you think about making a move back to New England, but wherever you go, wherever you are, the Hawkeye family will always be with you. Go Hawks.
Hello there, Brian. Bob Stoops here saying hi. And listen, I know you've had a tough couple of two, 3 years there, but the good news is, your family still supports you, buddy, especially your dad. He wants you to know that. But and even though everyone else seems to be against you, sometimes the best advice is to break free from the family business, man. Go do what you got to do. So anyhow, all the best to you and a big Boomer Sooner and good luck.
It was a cameo from Fran McCaffrey and Bob Stoops, not to Brian Ferentz, but to Brian Ferentz, who is the offensive coordinator and nepotism hire.
Real nepo, baby.
Kirk Ferentz. So, wow, those were good.
Some of the greatest use of cameo ever ever discovered.
Sometimes you got to break free of the family business.
Representing Iowa, if you didn't catch it.
Yes.
Iowa is connected there. They're going up against the 9-seed Auburn.
Kansas City, 3rd and 3, down by 6. Receiver in motion, shotgun snap. Here's a pass, back dribbling catch at the 5, caught by Tony. He'll breeze into the end zone. Touchdown! The Chiefs have just taken the lead.
Yeah. It's called corn dog.
So it's called what?
Corn dog.
It's not called corn dog.
Oh yes.
Is it called corn dog?
There's nothing better than a good corn dog with some mustard and ketchup.
But he doesn't step into the huddle and say corn dog.
Oh, no, he says corn dog.
He does?
Yeah.
What else does he say?
Don't do a left dirty egg shuttle, 35 whack corn dog.
That's what he says.
It's called corn dog.
Corn dog.
A strong, strong 8-9.
8-9 games are always tough.
I'm also looking ahead. This 5-12 also is absolutely incredible. This is the 5 seed represented by Miami.
I am the seventh son of a seventh son. And all my life they've said, hey, that's great. That's good luck. The people of Kansas City, for those of you who don't know those folks, is some kind of town.
A very deceptive leader. And that he was quiet, but very demanding. When he spoke, they listened, because he was always, always under control. I said to him one day, I said, Leonard, make sure that you never let them see you sweat. And he said, Coach, quarterbacks don't sweat. Quarterbacks perspire.
Go ahead, Mike, Lenny Dawson.
Lenny Dawson leads the field.
Let it go, Leonard! That's the way to go, Leonard. You've done good, kid.
Lenny Dawson, listen to the crowd. One of the great underrated quarterbacks in the history of professional football, Lenny Dawson, almost makes it cry. The stuff he's had to take and the year he's had with a broken hand, a bad knee, spotted dying, but he did it today.
I can visualize it. When Hank took me out with a minute and a half or 2 minutes to go, whatever it was, in the ball game, we had it wrapped up. And just, it was just something like, you know, a weight came off my shoulders, my whole body, you know, because... Geez, we finally did it. You know, we talk about it every year, winning the biggest prize there is, and that's the Super Bowl. But we actually accomplished that thing.
Tribute to Lynn Dawson there. Very cool to get to relive some of those moments.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tough draw for Drake, but it's just where Drake ended up. And so Drake is represented by Drake.
Text message, are you guys out of things to talk about?
No, I've got a full show worth of things, but this is way more enjoyable.
Not out of breaks to take, that's for sure.
Oh, man, I don't even know. I guess we'll just do the Drake.
You know why we don't do the chestnuts on Christmas anymore?
Why don't we do the chestnuts on Christmas anymore, Drake?
All the trees died. There were 4 billion chestnut trees on the east coast of the U.S., and between 1904 and 1940, they all died. Big blight.
What happened?
A blight. My dog brought a dead one to the back porch one time, so I picked it up to put it in the trash can, and that's when I realized it was not dead.
That's what I thought!
So I had a little functional but toy tape measure.
This is insane.
That you could put in your pocket.
I heard this
live. And a
little
notebook and a pencil.
I love this.
And when my mom would go shopping, I would go down the toy aisle, and I'd be like, okay, here's the TIE fighter, and I would measure the box. And I would write down the dimensions. I did this starting at like age 5.
Drake.
And then when they weren't looking, I would measure the presents, and I'd be like, okay, there's the TIE fighter.
Absolutely incredible stuff there. That's from holiday. The Drake.
That was holidays season.
Yes, that was.
I heard that live. I was like, my wife and I were in a car, and she's like, is this real? I said, oh, yeah, that's the Drake.
That's Drake. Real. Oh, yeah, no, that's just the Drake being the Drake starting at age 5, long before he was the Drake. Meanwhile, another real tribute here of a different sort, the number 4 seed in this region representing Indiana.
I'm genuinely fearful that on our team, if me and the other coaches don't get them right, that about a generation from now, their kids and their grandkids won't have hands, you know, because, you know, from a lack of use, those hands just disappear. I mean, and maybe it'll be like this, like those dinosaur hands like this are, you see. And you know, you got like a Tyrannosaurus Rex who's clearly good at eating things, big old jaws and all that stuff, fairly athletic and run. Well, his hands are like this. And you know, and I think we took a very, very, very big step as a team, which we have to correct this. We have to correct this because... you know, I think that in the end, that it's going to be best for all these guys that they have good hand development and that they don't evolve to where they don't have hands. Okay, but we definitely didn't use ours, and so there certainly wasn't any genetic reinforcement on our part that we should maintain our hands. I mean, and I don't want all of a sudden... You know, a guy's driving across this country, and then they get to Starkville, Mississippi, and all of a sudden there's these athletic-looking, friendly guys, because we have great guys, that don't have any hands. And I hope that that's not the case. But that's where we're headed right now, and we're going to try to get that fixed in this off week.
The late, great Mike Leach.
A couple of RIPs in this bracket.
Yep, we really do. And I'm not the only Mike Leach in the tournament, but wouldn't mind seeing Indiana advance for a while. They'll have to get past Kent State, represented by.
Was that did nights and weekends that would run the board for those games. I hear.
Hey, Jason, I don't know if you can hear me right now, but your connection is really starting to get really bad.
Ooh, well, we hear you.
I can hear you.
Well, you yeah, sound sure, like the Terminator.
It's not always smooth sailing. Sometimes it sounds like that. The rest of the Kicky Leaks bracket next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
That whole bit was stupid. Beards, we can mark that so we can hear how stupid that was again tomorrow.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Good pull, Beards. Back to the Kicky Leaks region of the Bracket of Sound. We've got our 3-14 matchup. The number 3 seed in Kicky Leaks is...
Well, hang on. Let me get a pull. Well,
I was trying to... I thought we were about speed here.
Here we go. You ready?
Yes.
Let's ride. Let's ride. Let's ride. Broncos country.
That's the
ride.
Beards. This is the wrong one, Broncos. Beards.
It's fine.
But that is that's a different region's 3 seed, I think.
Nope, that's in the Kicky Leaks.
What's the seed?
3 seed.
There we go. It's fine.
So that's in there twice.
How about the 4 seed?
That's fine. Let's get to the. How about give me the 7 seed then?
7.
We're going to the 7-10s.
The horn just blew. Can I? Does that mean I'm done?
Kirby Smart's pregame hype up for Georgia is profane and probably too long for this window. That's the 10 seed. The 2 seed, however, is this.
Dude, it was so nice. The family was gone. Wife was out of the house. I was all alone. Opened up the computer and just got into the salary cap. Oh, what a night.
That's a tough draw for the 15 seed.
Patrick, how are you?
How you doing?
Good, good to see you on the grid here. What do you think of this atmosphere?
This is crazy. I've never been to an F1 race. This is spectacular.
It's amazing to be allowed right in the middle of the competitors just before the race starts.
Yeah, now you can see they locked in. It reminds me of myself. The real focus.
Okay, it's not Patrick. That's why he ignored me in the beginning. But what is your name, sir?
Paolo Banchero.
Right, okay. Well, I thought I was talking to somebody else. So I'm sorry about that. Whatever.
Whatever.
F1 race, right?
Whatever. That's what that was. Yeah, it sure was.
That's Paolo Banchero is a very tall Patrick Mahomes.
It just doesn't sound like Patrick Mahomes or
hey,
really
listen,
look
you
like
send
Patrick Mahomes.
A little British man over to America.
That's fair, I guess.
What are you going to do?
Was that in the U.S.?
Yes, it was in Miami,
okay.
I think.
So they sent Martin Brundle to Miami.
Yes, because that's a huge sport, obviously. So, yeah, I think that was in Miami, as I recall. That was a funny one, though.
We'll keep updating our bracket of sound with the winners and the losers as we go. Whatever. We'll keep updating you on that as we go. Play-in games tonight begin here on Sports Radio 810 WHB and ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM. Presenting sponsors of March Madness, baby. You know it. It's here on 810. It's brought to you by Xfinity, Blue Chew, CBD American Shaman, First Federal Bank, JPA Roofing, and Barstool Sportsbook inside Hollywood Casino. This hour brought to you by Todd Lebo. Thank you, Lebo.
Bye.
I was giving you at least 5 more seconds than that.
You know, whatever.
All this extra time. All right, well, the program's next.
Bye,
Mom.